And turn with me tonight to Exodus chapter 14. We come tonight to the end of the saga of the Exodus, the Israelites finally freed from the Egyptians and finally coming across the Red Sea. But what strikes me about this passage is the crossing of the Red Sea is really just the beginning of the journey for the Israelites. It's like that in our Christian life, our day-to-day Christian walk, that the Lord saves us from all of our enemies. He gives us salvation. He brings us out of the slavery of sin, and that is just the beginning of the journey. We saw last week in Exodus chapter 14, the Lord said to the Israelites, "I will fight for you. You need only to be still." So we see the evidence of this in the ending of chapter 14, that the Lord does all the work. It reminds us of our salvation, that it's all God's work. We need only to be still. So I'll read beginning in Exodus 14, verse 15. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen.' Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen.' So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the hosts of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you and praise you again for your perfect, eternal word, Lord. Every word is truth, Lord. And you tell us that your word is profitable, Lord. And so we ask, Lord, that tonight we would gain much profit from your word, Lord. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Teach us and mold us, shape us into the image of Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, let me remind you where we are in the book of Exodus. You remember that God sent the final plague, the 10th plague, upon the Egyptians, the death of the firstborn, and this sparked Pharaoh to tell the people of Israel to go. We saw the Israelites go to the edge of the wilderness. They could taste the freedom, but remember in chapter 14, the Lord told the Israelites to turn back. Turn back towards Egypt. Return to Egypt. So they turn back, and God commanded the Israelites to set up camp with their back to the sea, facing a fortress, an Egyptian fortress in front, and the wilderness on the sides. So they were trapped. God led them to this trap, this place of vulnerability. And Pharaoh recognized this, so Pharaoh, seeing an open window, sent his 600 best chariots with his best three officers on each chariot to recapture the Israelites. The Israelites feared for their lives, saying, "It would be better for us to go back and serve the Egyptians than to die out here. They think the worst." But remember, we ended with Moses' encouragement, the words of the Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. We learned last week that the Lord often puts us in these positions where we are trapped, where we are helpless, where we're hopeless, that there's nothing that we can do, so that we will cry out to Him and recognize that He alone can deliver us, that He is our Redeemer, and that He will lead us. So tonight, first I want us to see the command to go forward. Notice chapter 14, if you look back a few verses to verse 9, it tells us the Egyptians have overtaken Israel, meaning they are right on top of the Israelites. There's nowhere for Israel to go. On the side, they have the great, on one side, they have the great army of chariots. On the other side, they have the sea, the wilderness surrounding them. And notice the Lord speaks to Moses in verse 15. He says, "Why do you cry to me? Why do you cry to me?" He says, "Tell the people of Israel to go forward," meaning pull up the tent pegs, pack everything up, move forward. Now, move forward here means move towards the sea. Why would we move towards the sea, Lord? It's a body of water. There's nowhere for us to go. There's no progress to be made. But notice again, verse 15. The Lord said, "Why do you cry to me?" This word cry, this word came up at the beginning of the Exodus account back in chapter 3. I want you to turn back to chapter 3 for a moment. Chapter 3, verse 7. Then the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings." In verse 9, "And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them." This word came up again in chapter 14, verse 10. "They feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord." So we see this time and time again in the story of the Exodus. God hears the cries of His people. I love Psalm 116. I keep returning to this again and again. "I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because He inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call on Him as long as I live." The Lord heard the cries of Israel as the Egyptian army is approaching, and the Lord answered. But this time, notice what the Lord says. "Stop the crying." Stop the crying and move into action. Now, sometimes that's the Lord's answer, isn't it? Stop the crying, get up and go. Get moving and get to work. I will provide for you. I will give you the direction that you need. It's time to get up and move. Stop crying and go. So notice verse 16, God's instruction to Moses. Verse 16, "Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground." Okay, it's starting to make sense now. This is why we're moving towards the sea, because the Lord is going to open up the sea. Now remember, this staff that Moses is holding, this is his common shepherd's staff. This staff has been used by God for many, many miracles. Time and time again, this staff has been used to shame Pharaoh. Remember, Pharaoh wielded his kingly staff, which he believed was the greatest staff in all of the world. The most powerful symbol of the staff that symbolized the most powerful position in all the world. But instead of Pharaoh's staff directing the sea, it would be Moses' common shepherd's staff that would bring an end to Pharaoh. So he's to lift up the staff and water will be divided. Israel will go through on the dry ground. Now this word dry in verse 16, it speaks of something that's withering. It's talking about brittle, dry ground, meaning all the moisture has been instantly pulled out. So they're walking across on a crunchy, dry desert floor. And notice verse 17. We see that the Lord will harden now not just Pharaoh's heart. We've seen that over and over again. The Lord hardening Pharaoh's heart, Pharaoh hardening his own heart, back and forth. But now it's all the hearts of the Egyptians. Meaning the Lord now has given all of the Egyptians up to the desires of their own heart. They're looking to recapture and humiliate the Israelites who have escaped. They're bloodthirsty. And so God is giving them up to the desires of their own hearts, the hardness that is already there. And notice that there's a dual purpose here. Notice verses 17 and 18. God's purpose, first, I will get glory over Pharaoh and his armies. And verse 18, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. I will get glory through this destruction, and all the people of Egypt will know that I am the Lord. That's the Lord's purpose, that his name would be spread, exalted, that all would know his glory. Now, second, tonight we see the angel of God. After the instructions to Moses, God promises protection from the angel of God. Notice verse 19. We see this, then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. So notice the angel of God was before the Israelites, in front of, and now the angel has moved behind them. Okay, I want you to look back to chapter 13, verse 21. Verse 13, 21 tells us this. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. Notice the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, it is before the Israelites, in front of them. Okay, so notice here in chapter 14, or chapter 13, we see the Lord is going before them. In chapter 14, we see the angel of God is going before them. So we ask the question, who's before them? Who is it? Is it the Lord? Is it the angel of God? Is it one? Is it two? What's going on? Actually, scholars, Bible scholars, believe that this is one in the same. The angel of God and the Lord are one in the same. It's two names that are used interchangeably for the same person. So here in chapter 14, when the angel of God moves from the front to the back, it means the Lord God, who's in the pillar of cloud and fire, has moved to the back behind the Israelites. And then this brings up another question. Which person of the Trinity? This is God. So who is it? Is it the Father? Is it the Son? We know that we don't see the Father. We don't see the Spirit because the Spirit is Spirit. So then it must be Jesus Christ. Actually, the early church fathers like Justin Martyr and Irenaeus, along with many others like Calvin, R.C. Sproul, they all believe that the angel of God is the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning, it's Jesus who moved from in front of them to behind them. Actually, I think the scriptures teach us this too. Listen to what Jude verse 5 says. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. You hear what Jude says? Jesus saved a people out of the land of Egypt. And then listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. Hear that? The rock that followed them was Christ. Paul and Jude both teaching us that Christ was behind the Israelites. So back in Exodus, verse 19 and 20, the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. Coming between, verse 20 says, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. So don't miss the significance of the placement here. The angel of God, Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, is standing between his people and death. See the significance there? That's exactly what Christ does for us. He stands between us and death. He did this on the cross. He protected Israel from death by standing between them and Egypt. He protected you from death by standing between us and the cross, providing his life. So we see Jesus protecting Israel from behind. Now, third, I want us to see the miracle unfolding. You know, the crossing of the Red Sea is a very familiar passage for any of us who've been in the church for any amount of time. But there are so many rich details that we often overlook. So I want us to dig in to the specifics of the miracle here so we can be amazed all over again. So notice beginning in verse 19, there's the angel of God, who we now believe and know to be Jesus. Verse 19, the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So Israel is facing the sea, and behind the Israelites is the Lord Jesus in the cloud. Behind the cloud is the Egyptian army. The cloud and Jesus between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And notice verse 20, there was the cloud and the darkness. See, there's two things happening. There's the cloud that's lighting up the night, lighting the way for the Israelites, and there's the darkness. The darkness is keeping the Egyptians at bay. They can't see anything because they're surrounded in darkness. Meanwhile, the Israelites have a cloud of light. So the cloud and the darkness, verse 20 tells us, both exist without either one coming near each other. The Egyptians are stuck in darkness. The Israelites are walking in the light of the Lord. Here's what the Bible scholars say this looked like, or believe this looked like. One side of the cloud is covering the Egyptians in complete and total darkness, while the other side of the cloud is surrounding Israel in the glorious light of Jesus Christ. One side dark, where the Egyptians are unable to see their hand in front of their face. They can't attack Israel because they don't know where they are. The other side, complete light, so the Israelites are able to follow the path of the Lord ahead of them. And then we move to 21, verse 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night. Now, the east wind in the scriptures is a wind of judgment. It's a desert wind that is a hot wind blowing in dusty air. In Exodus chapter 10, we learn about the plague of locusts, that the locusts were brought in by the east wind. Actually, in Jonah chapter 4, it's the east wind that withered Jonah's plant and made him angry. So notice, verse 21, the east wind blew all night. The scholars again point out that the east wind would have been on the far side of the sea, so that it's blowing towards the Israelites. So what they're seeing is on the other side of the sea is opening up and unfolding before them. And see, it's happening all night. They're watching as the sea opens up and comes across towards them all throughout the night. John Currid writes, they had to sit and wait patiently, waiting for the Lord to provide, waiting for the sea to completely open up. Verse 22. After the waters divided, the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea. Again, on dry ground. This is brittle, hard ground. No moisture. It's not that they're walking on a soggy or swampy ground. It's completely dry. And you see there's a wall of water on both sides. Imagine looking up to the left and to the right and seeing a wall of water on both sides. Water standing up perfectly. Now, Bible scholars point out, for the entire nation of Israel to walk through at the same time. Now, this is a nation of millions at this time. So this had to be a wide expanse for all of the Israelites to walk through in one night, not even one full night. You know, the waters would have needed to be split, I don't know, a mile or more apart so that all of the people could travel through. This would have taken a long length of time. Now notice verse 23. It tells us the Egyptians pursued and went in after into the midst of the sea. So the Egyptians pursued to the center, the midst of the sea. They followed all the way to the middle, the walls of water still heaped up on both sides. Verse 24 tells us by this time it was the morning watch, meaning it was 2 a.m., sometime between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. So it's getting into the early morning hours. And then notice what the Lord does. Verse 24, the pillar of cloud and fire looked down on the Egyptians and threw them into a panic. This panic describes a state of terror, a state of confusion. They're saying, where are we? What's happening? How did we end up in the middle of the sea and we're on dry ground with walls of water on either side? They're not trusting in the God of Israel. So they're not looking to the Lord in faith. They're confused and they're panicking. Pharaoh and his mighty army, the most powerful army in the world, are terrified. Then notice verse 25, the Lord also clogged the wheels of their chariots, and so they're driving heavily. Actually, some Bible translations say that the wheels fell off. So whether the wheels fell off or they're clogged to some point, they're barely able to move forward. They're stuck. You know, you've probably experienced having a flat tire, and maybe once the tire blows, you have a few feet that you drive and the car is kind of clunking as it moves forward. I imagine that's what this was like. Now, something else to add to the scene. I love this. Turn over to Psalm 77. An overlooked, I think, detail here of the Exodus and the Israelites we see from the psalmist, Psalm 77. Psalm 77, beginning with verse 16, we read, when the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So notice what the psalmist is saying here. There's also a great storm. There's pouring rain, thunder, lightning, a whirlwind, the earth shaking and trembling. It's no wonder that the Egyptians are panicked with all this happening. Then notice verse 26 back in Exodus. The Lord again speaks to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea. Moses stretched out his hand and the sea returned to its normal course. The Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. Verse 28, the waters returned and covered the host of Pharaoh. Not one of them remained. And then notice verse 27, this happened when the morning appeared. After this night of darkness, after this night of danger, the Lord brings the final deliverance and the relief in the morning. It reminds us of the cross where Jesus is crucified in the darkness, and when does he rise again? In the morning, bringing redemption and deliverance to his people. Notice verse 30. We see, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Their enemies, including Pharaoh, the king of the world at this time, dead on the seashore. Notice verse 31, the response of Israel. How do you respond to such a time, to such a moment? The Lord's great provision, the Lord fighting for you. Verse 31 tells us they fear the Lord, they believe in the Lord, and they believe in the Lord's servant Moses. That's the response. To fear the Lord is to have the utmost reverence for God. This is the Almighty, all-powerful Creator, sovereign God. He controls the wind and the waves, the storm. He parts the sea. He brings judgment to the wicked. He brings salvation to His children. The only thing I can do is have the utmost reverence for You, Lord. We know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord leads to living rightly and honoring the Lord. Then you see they believe the Lord. Actually, this Hebrew word for believe, it's much more than just an intellectual assent. It's not saying the people of Israel recognized or admitted intellectually that the Lord had done this. No, this word believe means to place your trust in, to place your faith in. It's, I believe that You are the one true God who rescued me. Therefore, I will follow You wherever You lead me. And they believe the Lord's servant. Meaning now, they're not just trusting in the voice of the Lord, but those that the Lord sends to them, His prophets. Well, one thing I want to close with tonight, Psalm 66. Turn with me to Psalm 66. Actually, we'll close with two applications, Psalm 66 being the first. But notice Psalm 66, verse 6. By the way, the psalmists love to talk about the Red Sea crossing. There's so many rich crossover passages there in the Psalms. Psalm 66, 6, we see, He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. Notice what the psalmist says here. They passed through the river on foot. But then notice, there did we rejoice in Him. See what the psalmist is saying? They passed through. They were the ones who passed through. They walked through the sea. But there on the other side, we rejoiced in Him. We join together is what the psalmist is saying. God's people, the salvation that God secured, the redemption, the deliverance that He secured in the Exodus, He has done the same for you if you are in Christ. Looking forward to the Savior as the psalmist does, we look back to the Savior. He has accomplished the same deliverance for you, so we rejoice together with Israel. And then a final application. Christian, when the Lord places you in a difficult situation, you might say an impossible situation, like the Israelites were facing, you may be looking at a situation like that in your life right now. You're before a great sea, looking at it and wondering, there is no way I'm going to get through this, or there is no way I'm going to get across this. I'm stuck where I am. I'm surrounded. There's nothing that I can do. Christian, the Lord has you in the exact right place. The Lord brought the Israelites to that place so that He could show them His power and His glory that He alone delivers. That the Lord will fight for His children. Christian, wherever you are, if you are in that place, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still and trust Him. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank You for this reminder of the deliverance of Your people from Egypt, Lord, from slavery, and how that points us to Jesus Christ who delivered us from the slavery of sin, Lord. That we rejoice with the Israelites, Lord, because You have crossed us over to the other side, Lord, from death to life, to salvation, to eternal life. So, Lord, may we fear Your name, may we believe You, may we believe Your servants You have sent to us, and may we trust You always. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.